This week we're going to read Parshas Zochar. So I want to talk a little bit about Parshas Zochar. The Chinuch in Mitzvah Tov Reish Gimel says that the reason why they were Mesakan, that Parshas Zochar should be read prior to Purim, is because it's Me'inyonei Shel Yom Purim. It has an inherent connection with Purim. And what is the inherent connection between Parshas Zochar and Purim? Says the Chinuch that Haman HaRasha was Haman HaRasha was a descendant of Amalek. In other words, Amalek was the ancestor of Haman HaRasha. The Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch Haim, in Siman Tov Reish Tzadi Hei, which is the Halachas of Purim, in Seif Yud Zayin, says that the Minog, which has arisen, that when one hears the name Haman mentioned in the Megillah, that one hits something, is because the Pasuk says, Moche Timche es Zecher Amalek. So it's a symbolic act of wiping out Amalek. Why? Because again, Haman was a descendant of Amalek. And in fact, the Mata Moshe on the Shulchan Aruch there writes that the gematria of Moche Emche is the same gematria as Zu Haman. In the parsha which we read, which is the beginning of Parshas Ki Seitei, the pasuk says, "Zocher es asher osa lecha Amalek," that one should remember that which Amalek did to you. Remember that which Amalek did to you. Baderech, when you were on the way. Betzeischem in Mitzrayim, when you were leaving Egypt. Asher korcho baderech. And he attacked you, baderech, when you were on the way. Vayezanev b'cho kol anechasholim acharecho. He attacked those who were the weakest, who were at the back, who were at the rear. Va'ato oyef v'yogeya, and you were weak, tired, and exhausted. It's interesting that this pasuk twice uses the phrase baderech. Zocher es asher osecha Amalek baderech betzeischem mimitzrayim, asher korcho baderech. Now we find other attacks that were made on Chal Yisrael when they left Mitzrayim. And other nations also attacked Klal Yisrael when they left Mitzrayim. For example, the Knaini, Melech Arad, that was also waging a war against Klal Yisrael when they left Mitzrayim. But it doesn't mention there that the attack which came from the Knaini Melech Arad was Baderech, even though it was obviously Baderech. And then what's even more interesting is that when Shmuel gives instruction, benevuah, to Shaul HaMelech that he should wage war against Agag, Melech Amalek, and he should kill all the Amalekim, and he should kill the Melech, he should kill Agag, Melech Amalek, and he should kill all the women and the children, the animals, everything. Slaughter them all. The Pasuk says that when Shmuel came to say over this nevuah to Shaul HaMelech, what does he say to Shaul HaMelech? Koi Oma Hashem Tzvokes. Let me tell you what the Ribbono Shel Olam said. Pokadati, I have remembered. Es Asher Oso Amalek Li Yisrael. That which Amalek did to Yisrael, Asher Somloi, that he ambushed them, Baderech, Ba'aloisim Mitzrayim, when they were going up from Egypt. So again, the Pasuk emphasizes the fact that it was Baderech, which begs the question, why this emphasis on the Baderech? What is the Torah coming to tell us with this emphasis on the Baderech? What's so important that Klal Yisrael were Baderech? Which lends itself to the understanding that the Chet of Amalek, when they attacked Klal Yisrael, when Klal Yisrael were leaving Egypt, wasn't just the fact that this was the first attack which was made by the Gentile world against Klal Yisrael, who had just left Mitzrayim after all the open nisim that had taken place in Mitzrayim, but it was some type of attack which was interwoven with Baderech. It was something to do with the fact that Klal Yisrael were holchim Baderech. And seemingly, what Amalek was trying to do was trying to remove from Klal Yisrael this concept of Derech. But what is this concept of Derech? And why was this concept of Derech so disturbing to Amalek that Amalek had to try and destroy it and had to try and remove it? What is the significance of this idea of Baderech? The Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, the famous Gemara. Gemara in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Pei Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara says that by Maimed HaSinai VaYisyatzu B'Tachtis HaHor, Klal Yisrael gathered together at the bottom of the mountain, at the bottom of Har Sinai. And the Gemara says, Malamed, this teaches us that Klal Yisrael did not want to accept Torah, but Kofar Alei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aleihem Esahar Kegigis, that the Ribbono Shel Olam held the mountain over them. Va'om Alohem, and the Ribbono Shel Olam said to Klal Yisrael, Im Atem Mekablim HaTorah Mutav, if you will accept Torah, that's fine. V'im Lav, but if you won't accept Torah, Shom Tehei Kvuraschem, this is where you're going to die. To which the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says that Omar Rav Acha Bar Yankov, the Rav Acha Bar Yankov said, Mikan, from here, Meido Rabo Lo'iraiso. Says Rashi, what did Rav Acha Bar Yankov mean? Rav Acha Bar Yankov meant the following, that if the day will come when Klal Yisrael will not observe Torah, and the Ribbono Shel Olam will bring them to din, the Ribbono Shel Olam will judge them for the fact that they're not accepting Torah, And the Ribbono Shel Olam will say to them in this court case that he's having with them, Lama lo kiyamtem Torah? Why weren't you mekayem Torah? Mashikibalta aleichem? You accepted the Har Sinai Torah? They will have a legitimate answer. Yesh lehem tshuva, says Rashi. They're going to have a legitimate answer. And that is, we never accepted Torah. Kiblu mi'aynis. We accepted it, not mi'rotzen, but mi'aynis, because we had no choice, because you said either accept it or killing it. That's not called accepting something. When a guy holds a gun to your head and says, do it, or else I'll kill you. So how can you come with a tiny to us that we weren't mekayim Torah? Of course we weren't mekayim Torah. We only said that we were going to be mekayim Torah because you forced us to say it. Omar Rava, says the Gemara, Rava then continued and said, it's true that at Matan Torah, the acceptance of Torah was not by choice, but by force on the part of the Ribbono Shel Olam. But Hodo Kibluha, Klal Yisrael at a later point in history did accept Torah from their own free will, Bimeach HaShveirish, at the time of the Ness of Purim, Dichsiv, as the Pasuk says in Megillas Esther, Kimu V'Kiblu HaYehudim, that the Jews fulfilled and accepted upon themselves. What does that mean, says Rava? Kimu. They started observing and they started accepting upon themselves from their own free will, Mashe Kiblu Bal Korchom, that which they only accepted upon themselves at Matan Torah, at Maimed Har Sinai, by force. To which Tosfos in the Gemara there on Shabbos asked the obvious question. Says Tosfos, why did the Ribbono Shel Olam have to force them to accept Torah? The Pasuk has already previously stated that when the Ribbono Shel Olam told them, I am now going to give you Torah, what did they say? Na'aseh v'nishma. And Na'aseh v'nishma was from their own free will. Was from their own free volition. Nobody forced them at that point in time. So why did the Ribbono Shel Olam have to force them afterwards, says Tosfos? What's going on here? To which the Balei HaTosfos, which are quoted in Das Kenim, at the beginning of Parshas Yisroi, give the following answer. That which they said Na'aseh v'nishma is referring to Torah Shebiksav. That which they didn't want to accept, and that which they had to be forced to accept, is talking about Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebiksav, the written law, that they accepted out of their own free will. Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral law, that they weren't willing to accept from their own free will, that they had to be forced to accept. Lechora, this teretz makes no sense whatsoever. You can't understand this teretz kipshutoi. Why? Because what is Torah Shebaal Peh? Torah Shebaal Peh, as the Rambam and others define it, is Peirushoi Shel Mitzvos. It's the understanding of the mitzvahs. Torah Shebiksav is the actual mitzvah, but how to implement the mitzvah? The explanations of the Mishnah, of the mitzvah, the details of the mitzvah, this is all Torah Shebaal Peh. There is absolutely no meaning to Torah Shebiksav without Torah Shebaal Peh, because we don't understand Torah Shebiksav without Torah Shebaal Peh, and Torah Shebiksav without Torah Shebaal Peh is Chinese. So how can the Balei HaTosfos and the Das Kenim say that Torah Shebiksav they were willing to accept, but Torah Shebaal Peh they weren't willing to accept? And in fact, this question is asked by Chazal. The Medrash Tanchuma, in the beginning of Parshas Noach, says, because the Medrash Tanchuma has the same problem that Tosfos had. How can Chazal say that the Ribbono Shel Olam was kof aleihem har kegigis and that they only accepted Torah mitoch haines, if they said Na'aseh v'nishma mitoch rotzen? To which the Medrash Tanchuma says, Torah Shebiksav they were willing to accept mirotzen, but Torah Shebaal Peh they weren't willing to accept. Mirotzen. To which the Medrash Tanchuma asks, that doesn't make sense. Teresh Miksav without Teresh Baalpeh is meaningless. So how come they were willing to accept Teresh Miksav without Teresh Baalpeh? To which the Medrash Tanchuma answers that it's not Teresh Baalpeh that they weren't willing to accept, but they weren't willing to accept upon themselves the mitzvah of Talmud Teresh Baalpeh. They didn't want to accept upon themselves the fact that a Jew has a mitzvah of Vigiso Boyem and Valaila, that he continuously has to learn Teresh Baalpeh. Why? Because, says the Medrash Tanchuma, they said, this is already too difficult. If Chazal come along and say, Ein ha-teira niknis, ele b'mi shememis atzmai olav, that you have to kill yourself in order to understand Teresh Baalpeh, that we're not interested in. That's the Medrash Tanchuma. But I want to suggest, B'derech Efsha, a different insight here into what the Balei HaTesis mean when the Balei HaTesis say that they were willing to accept Teresh Baalpeh, but they weren't willing to accept Teresh Baalpeh. There is a fascinating introduction of the Rambam to his magnum opus, to Mishneh Torah, which nobody usually bothers reading. The Rambam wrote a Hagdama to Yad HaChazaka, to Mishneh Torah. It's not a very long Hagdama, but it's a very fascinating Hagdama. And in this Hagdama, he's trying to explain why did he bother writing Mishneh Torah. And in order to explain why he bothered writing Mishneh Torah, he starts off and says, let me first explain to you what the historical process was. How did it all start, Torah? So he goes through the fact that Torah was given at Sinai to Moshe Rabbeinu, and then he explains how did it go further? How did it continue further? So the Rambam says the following. Moshe Rabbeinu was given at Maimed HaSinai Torah Shebiksav, but he was also told by the Ribbono Shel Olam at Maimed HaSinai Torah Shebaalpeh. And then the Rambam continues and says the following, listen very carefully. Af al pi, although, says the Rambam, shelei nichdeva Torah Shebaalpeh, although Torah Shebaalpeh wasn't written, limdo Moshe Rabbeinu bebeis dinoi l'shivim skenim. Moshe Rabbeinu taught the entirety of Teresh Baalpeh, which he heard orally from the Ribbono Shel Olam, to the Shivim Skenim, the Elozo, Upinchas, the Yeshua, and Elozo and Pinchas and Yeshua, who were part of the Shivim Skenim, Shloshton Kiblu Mimoshe. They were among the Shivim Skenim who received Teresh Baalpeh orally from Moshe, who received the Teresh Baalpeh orally from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then the Rambam continues. And the Rambam says, Uli Yeshua, and to Yeshua, Shehu Talmidei Shel Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the Talmid par excellence of Moshe Rabbeinu, Mosar Teresh Baalpeh, Moshe Rabbeinu gave over Teresh Baalpeh, Vetzivehu Oleho, and told Yeshua, this is the Teresh Baalpeh about which we have been commanded, and now your job is to give it over further. So what did the Rambam just say? The Rambam just said that Moshe Rabbeinu received Teresh Baalpeh orally from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then he gave over the entirety of Teresh Baalpeh to the Shivim Skenim that included Elozo and Pinchas and Yeshua. And then he gave over to Yeshua Teresh Baalpeh v'tziveihu aleha. What's the Rambam talking about? The Rambam's already said that Moshe Rabbeinu gave over Torah to the Shivim Skenim, which included Yeshua.
which included the laws of Pinchas and Yeshua. So why does the Rambam continue and say, and when Moshe Rabbeinu gave over Torah Shabbat Peh to Yeshua, who was his Talmud, Vitziveyola, he's already just said that. He just said, he gave it over to the Shivim Skanim, and amongst the Shivim Skanim was Yeshua. So what does the Rambam mean here? And you have to learn up the Hagdama of the Rambam is also a Rambam. The Rambam's saying something here. What's the Rambam saying? Mukhrach mevuah from the Rambam. You see clearly in the Rambam that in addition to the Torah Shebaal Peh which Yeshua received as part of the Shivim Skanim together with Elozon, together with Pinchas, besides that Torah Shebaal Peh, there was a separate Mesira of Torah Shebaal Peh to Yeshua. There was something extra. There was an hundred Torah Shebaal Peh, different Torah Shebaal Peh that was given only to Yeshua. Besides the general Torah Shebaal Peh that was given to the entirety of the Shivim Skanim that included Elozar and Pinchas and Yeshua. There was a special Torah Shebaal Peh which went to Yeshua. What was this special Torah Shebaal Peh that was given over to Yeshua that wasn't given over to anybody else? It was only given over to Yeshua. And the whole point of giving over Torah Shebaal Peh, whether it was to the Shivim Skanim or whether it was to Yeshua, was for what purpose? In order that they should give it over weiter. It's part of the Messiah of Torah Shebaal Peh which goes midor l'dor. Says the Rambam, there's a Torah Shebaal Peh which Yeshua had to give over, which was the general Torah Shebaal Peh, which had to be given over from generation to generation. And that obligation of that Torah Shebaal Peh being given over from generation to generation was incumbent upon the entirety of the Shivim Skanim, including Elozar, Pinchas, and Yeshua. But then there was another Torah Shebaal Peh, which was given specifically to Yeshua. And it was his personal responsibility to ensure that that Torah Shebaal Peh should also be passed down generation to generation. What was this special Torah Shebaal Peh which was given to Yeshua? The Rambam, at the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, the Rambam describes the world's history, starting from the creation of the world, going through the different eras. The Rambam gets to the Ovis, and he talks at length about the lives of the Ovis. He talks at length about the life of Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim. He talks about the fact that the world was submerged in idolatry, until there came one individual called Avraham Avinu, who managed to revolutionarize people's thinking and change them from idol worshippers to believers in monotheism, to believers in one God. And at the point when the Rambam is describing Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim, which is Halacha Gimel of Perek Aleph of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, the Rambam says the following: Orchu hayomim li Yisrael b'Mitzrayim. Klal Yisrael spent a long time in Mitzrayim. V'chozru lilmoid ma'aseihem. And they started adopting the practices of the Egyptians. V'la'avoid avodah zarah k'moison. And they reverted to Avodah Zarah because this is what they learnt from the Egyptians. Chutz mi Shevet Levi. With the exception of Shevet Levi, she'omad b'mitzvahs Ovis, they were faithful to the tradition of the Ovis, Shevet Levi. Ume oilom lo'ovad Shevet Levi Avodah Zarah. And a Shevet Levi, they never worshipped idols. But everybody else got involved in idol worship. Ukimat, and it nearly reached the stage, says the Rambam, Hayahaike Sheshosel Avram, that this ideology that Avraham Avinu managed to instill in mankind, to change mankind that they should become believers in one God and leave off from idol worship, nekar, it kimat became uprooted. It was as if everybody forgot the revolution that Avraham Avinu made and everybody reverted back to being Ovdei Avodah Zarah. V'chazru b'nei Yaakov litos ha'amim, the tos ha'amim v'tiyosom. And Klal Yisrael became at one with a mistake that the Gentile world was making and reverted also back to idol worship. U'mei avas Hashem oisonu. And because the Ribbono Shel'Olam loves Klal Yisrael, u'meshamrei ha'shavua li'Avraham Avinu, and because the Ribbono Shel'Olam made a shvua that I will take your descent to Avraham Avinu, that I will take your descendants and bring them to Eretz Yisrael, and they will inherit Eretz Yisrael, etc., 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 etc. Therefore, what did the Ribbono Shel'Olam do? Asa Moshe Rabbeinu Rabban Shekol HaNeviim. He created the individual Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the Odoin Kol HaNeviim, Likom K'moshe, V'sholchei. And he said, your job is to go and to solve the problem. Kiven shenisnave Moshe Rabbeinu ubocha Hashem b'Yisrael l'nachlo. Once Moshe Rabbeinu started being misnaber and started influencing Klal Yisrael, that they have to understand that the Ribbono Shel Olam chose Klal Yisrael as his nachlo. Hichtiron b'mitzvahs. And Moshe Rabbeinu, revitalized by Klal Yisrael, the concept of Shmiras HaMitzvahs. V'hoidiyom. And Moshe Rabbeinu informed Klal Yisrael about something else which they had forgotten. Derech Avodosoi. And Moshe Rabbeinu also told them, Mayiyeh Mishpat HaAvodah Zarah, V'kol Atayim Achareah. What's going to be the punishment for people who are Ovdei Avodah Zarah and people who follow Avodah Zarah? Then the whole situation changed back again, says the Rambam. Again, let's learn off a shtickl Rambam. What did the Rambam say here? The Rambam says that Ribbono Shel Olam chose Torah. The Ribbono Shel Olam chose Moshe Rabbeinu to be the Makabel of Torah. And chose Moshe Rabbeinu to be the Moser of Torah. He received Torah on Maimed Har Sinai. And he will give over Torah. And Klal Yisrael were chosen to be the Am HaNivcho, who were going to be the Makablei HaTorah. And what's Pshat Torah? Torah is both Torah Shebiksav and Torah is also Torah Shebaal Peh. And that's what we say every Shabbos in the brachas of the Haftarah. If we would listen to them, then we would understand what we're saying. Haboiche b'Torah. The Ribbono Shel Olam chose Torah. Uva Moshe Avdoi. And he chose Moshe Rabbeinu to be the Makabel HaTorah on Maimed Har Sinai and to be the Moser HaTorah. And who is Moshe Rabbeinu being Moser HaTorah to? Yisrael Amoy, who are the Makabelei HaTorah. But the Rambam is saying a Meiridik Avot here. Because what's the Rambam saying? That Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen to give over two things. And these two things are called Torah Shebal Peh. Besides Torah Shebiksav, Moshe Rabbeinu was given the function of being the Meiser of Torah Shebal Peh. But Torah Shebal Peh includes two aspects. Hichtiron b'mitzvos. Torah Shebal Peh includes mitzvahs. Perushei ha-mitzvahs.
But Torah Shebal Peh, says the Rambam, also includes something else.
V'hoidiyom. Moshe Rabbeinu had to give over something else as part of Torah Shebal Peh. And what's that? Derech avoidosom. Again, this word. Derech. Derech avoidosom. In other words, there's mitzvahs and there's derech avoidosoi.
Mitzvahs, we know what mitzvahs are. Mitzvahs are the entirety of Shas. Mitzvahs are the entirety of Shulchan Aruch. We know what mitzvahs are. But what is derech avoidosoi? What does the Rambam mean, derech avoidosoi?
Moshe Rabbeinu had a job. He had to give over two things, two components of Torah Shebal Peh. Mitzvahs for Perushon and Derech Avedosan. Says the Rambam in his Akdoma, Moshe Rabbeinu gave over Torah Shebal Peh, meaning the mitzvahs and their Perushon, to the Shivim Skanim, which included Elazar and Pinchas and Yeshua, that they had to give it over further. Uli Yeshua! But then he gave a specific job to Yeshua. You have a unique, singular function. Besides giving over to the next generation, the Torah Shebal Peh of mitzvahs uperushom, you have to also give over the other component of Torah Shebal Peh. You have to give over the Derech Avodosom. That's what the Rambam's saying in his Akdoma. When the Das Kanim Balei HaTosfos say the Klal Yisrael were willing to accept Torah Shebiksav, but they weren't willing to accept Torah Shebal Peh, to which the kasha was, what does that mean? Torah Shebiksav is meaningless without Torah Shebal Peh. It's not shaykh kipshutai that they were willing to be mekabel Torah Shebiksav and they weren't willing to be mekabel Torah Shebal Peh. The pshat is avadigavish they were willing to be mekabel Torah Shebal Peh, which is a pirush on Torah Shebiksav. The Torah Shebal Peh which Moshe Rabbeinu gave over to the Skanim, that Torah Shebal Peh, that they had no problem with. That they were mekabel Barotzen. When Tosfos says they didn't want to be mekabel Torah Shebal Peh, it means the derech avodosoi Torah Shebal Peh. That Torah Shebal Peh, which is derech avodosom, that they didn't want to take. That the Ribbono Shel Olam had to force them to take. And therefore, when the Torah says that Amalek attacked Klal Yisroel baderech, baderech, when Shmuel HaNovi says that the Ribbono Shel Olam says pocket, pocket, that pokadeti es asher oso l'cho Amalek asher som l'cho baderech, what Amalek was fighting was that chelik of Torah Shebal Peh, the derech avidosoi, that Amalek didn't want. That was the mechoma of Amalek, and that's what makes Amalek unique amongst all the nations. Anti-Semites existed from day one. Milchomas against Klal Yisrael have always been and there always will be. But all the people who are fighting against Klal Yisrael are fighting against Klal Yisrael for ulterior motives. The Knaini, he was scared, he didn't want them to conquer his land. Amalek had nothing at all to do with a regular milchama. Amalek was a melchama against the Torah Shebal Peh of Derech Avodosai. What is this Derech Avodosai? So if you want to understand what the Derech Avodosai is, we have to find out what was the yesod of the melchama of Amalek against Klal Yisrael. Says the Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Kiseitze, on Parshas Zocher, says the Medrash Tanchuma, Ma hayu Amalek oisin. What happened in this war when Amalek attacked Klal Yisrael? Hayu mechatchin miloison shel Yisrael. They cut off the mila of Klal Yisrael. Zorkim klapei mailo. They threw it upwards. V'aymrim. And they said, as it were, to the Ribbono Shelolam, "Bezeh bacharto, this is what you choose. Tul lecha ma shebacharto, take what you chose." And the Midrash Tanchuma says, and that is what the pasuk means when the pasuk says about Amalek, "Chelposo ma shechelpo Hashem," that they cursed out the Ribbono Shelolam. The only identifying factor that existed pre-Matan Torah, which distinguished the Jew from the non-Jew, was one thing and one thing only: Mila. That was the only mitzvah that they had that actually divided between the Jewish world and the non-Jewish world. That Amalek couldn't take. That difference, which is a cardinal principle, that there is a difference between the Jew and the non-Jew, that Amalek couldn't take. The milchama of Amalek keneged Klal Yisrael was an ideological, spiritual milchama against the concept of the Havdalah that exists Bein Yisrael O'amim. That Amalek couldn't be Mekabel. And that's what is meant when the Torah says that the Milchama of Amalek was a Milchama Baderech. It was a milchama against the derech avidosai. It was against the derech avida of the Jew. Because the hagdara of the derech avida of the Jew is the emphasis on those things which differentiate between the Jew and the non-Jew. Chazal, the Torah, when it tries to differentiate between Klal Yisrael and Umos HaOlam, always uses Esav as being representative of the Gentile world, as being representative of the Umos HaOlam, and Yaakov as being representative of Klal Yisrael. In reference to Esav, it says, Al Charbecho Tichya, which literally translated means, you will live by the sword. Life, murder, killing, it's cheap by the Umos HaOlam. Violence is cheap by the Umos HaOlam. By the Jew is the exact opposite. The Jew is the antithesis, Chaim. Life is the most important thing. By the non-Jew, there is nothing which is mahana him more than death and violence. Why? Because al-chal b'chotichya, that is the essence of the nature of the non-Jew. The non-Jew enjoys watching violence. That's why the majority
of films include violence the whole time. That's why the majority of sports revolve around an element of violence, covered up with a veneer of sport. Because Alcha B'Chotichya, that's the metzias of the goy. The metzias of the goy is, when does he enjoy something? The more people injured in a sports game. What does a Jew enjoy? A Jew enjoys a good kasha of Rabbi Akiva Eigen and a good teres of Rishim and Shkoper and Baruch Be'er. Why? Because the goy is Alcha B'Chotichya. And the definition of the Jew is Ishtom Yeshiva Holim. Do you know that there was a statistic done in the early 1980s? Now, you're talking about 30-something odd years ago. And it's got infinitely worse since then. But at the beginning of the 1980s, there was a study done in America. A statistical study was done. And they worked out that the average American pre-teenager, elementary school student, watches either on TV or on a video or on a film, it doesn't make any difference. Take the whole lot together. It works out that in the course of 1 month, the average amount of time that the average American elementary school student watches, he sees 300 murders a month and something like 2,000 and something acts of violence. Why? Because that's Alcha B'Chotichya. Think about it for a moment. Before the advent of modern day sports, what was the major sport that everybody was involved in? You have a huge arena, you fill it up with 20,000 people, you stick a guy in the middle and an ox and see who wins. Which one will kill the other one first? And that's enjoyment. In other words, that people enjoy. That it's amazing when you think about it. Does anybody bother to think for a moment that there is a sport which is a prime example of the English language talking Beloshin Sagino? There's a sport which in English, the Americans wouldn't know this, but in English, is called the gentleman's sport. That's the way it's referred to. What's the gentleman's sport? Meaning it's a hechera sort sport, right? It's not a low-class sport. It's a higher-class sport. What is it? Boxing. Yeah. Think about it for a moment. Boxing is two guys killing each other, right? If there wouldn't be an umpire referee in the middle, right, they would permanently disable one or the other for all future generations without thinking twice. But unfortunately, they can't do it unless the guy's not looking properly. And that's called the gentleman's sport. That's really a hecher sort of sport. Why? Because that's the metzias of a goy, Alcha B'Chotichya. That's what a goy is all about. The fact that the Jew has no kesher whatsoever, he has no shaychus whatsoever, b'muhusoy, when it comes to hanor, when it comes to a perspective of life, when it comes to anything with the goy, that's derech avodosoy. And Haman, who was a descendant of Amalek, that's what was bothering him as well. And it's a Mefurish Pasuk in Megillas Esther. What does he say to Achashverosh? What's disturbing him? V'dosehem shoineis mikol am. They're different.
They have a different understanding of what sport is. They have a different understanding of what enjoyment is. They have a different understanding of what life's all about. So let's get rid of them. The Gemara has a problem. The Gemara in Megillah and Daf Yud Beis has a problem. The Gemara is not quite sure what was the trigger that created the situation that Klal Yisrael were deserving of annihilation, that there had to be a Nes Purim that they should be saved. What was the grace of Aveira that they did? The Gemara says that Tshalu Talmidim Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, that the Talmidim asked him, Meiman Yischaivu Bais Ador. What was that generation so sinful that they did, that they deserved annihilation from the Ribbono Shel Olam? Amalem, what did he answer them? Imru Atem, tell me what you think. Amru Lo, they answered him back, Mipnei Nehenu Misudasei Shel Eser Rasha, because they were Nehenu from the Sud of Achashverosh. Says Rabbi Ruchem, not because they ate from the Suda of Achashverosh, because the Suda of Achashverosh was glatt kosher. Chazal say that everything was 100% kosher. There was no kasherist problems there. It had a badatz eidah haredes hechsher. There was no problem whatsoever. The problem, says Yom Yeruchim, was the nehenu, that they enjoyed it. What did they enjoy? They enjoyed the fact that after tens of years of persecution under Nebuchadnezzar, who was right of Klal Yisrael, who killed Klal Yisrael, a new king came, a new government came, Achashverosh, and they were invited to the Suda, and a glatt kosher Suda was prepared for them. Equal rights for the Jews. We're the same as the Goyim. There's no difference between us and the Goyim. And because there's no difference between us and the Goyim, therefore we can become one society. We can become close. Therefore we can start being metashtesh a bit, the stark difference between the Jew and the non-Jew. And it was only after Mordechai managed to get this point across to them, of the disaster that's coming about from the participation in this Suda, that they were chayzer b'tshuva, v'hodo kibluho meirotzein, and they were willing meirotzein to be mekabel derech avodosoi. We all know that if one wants to find out what is the essence of a Yom Tov, then how do we do so? How do we begin to understand what is the essence of any Yom Tov? The answer is that the essence of a Yom Tov is always defined by the halachas of the Yom Tov. And in reference to Purim, besides Kriyas HaMegillah, which was a takona because of Pirsumei Niso, there are further mitzvahs, Mishloach Monis and Matonis Levyonim, which the Rambam maintains are all part and parcel of Seudas Purim, and that which the Gemara says in Megillah on Zion, Dav Zion Amud Beis, the Mechayev Inish Lifsumi B'Puri Ad Yoda Bein Oro Homo Lebor Mordechai, says the Rambam is also an integral part of the Suda. The whole din of Chayev Odom Lifsumi B'Puri is only after you've been Noitli Yadayim for the Suda, otherwise there's no point in drinking. It has to be a chelik of the Suda. And that's why it's only a din B'Yoyim, and it's only a din L'Achra Suda, once the Suda started. The Ramah says that a person doesn't have to get totally drunk, he should just drink a little bit more than he's used to. The Maril
says drink a little bit more than you're used to the degree that you'll fall asleep, and that's how you yaitse the Leyada ben Ara Haman Baruch Mordechai. And everybody's got the problem that how can the Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara Paskin, the person should drink more than he normally drinks on Purim? The Rambam's got some of the most sharpest expressions that he uses, and he can sometimes be very sharp in Mishnah Torah, the Rambam. But some of the sharpest expressions that the Rambam uses, which you'll find in Hilchas Yom Tov and Perek Vov, that the Rambam talks about people who drink too much. And the Rambam says, Kisha Adam Eichel, B'Sheisa, V'Sameach, on Yom Tov, you should be very careful, Shala Yimshech B'Yayin, B'Schoik, B'Kalas Rosh, Sha'as Shikris V'Aschoik, B'Kalas Rosh, Eina El Ha'ilulus V'Sichlis, V'Lein Istavinu Al Ha'ilulus V'Sichlis. The mitzvah, says the Rambam, is simcha, which has got as part of it avodas hayetzer. The Echos Chaim of Reb Aaron Milanil was the basic halacha de kapasik, who writes that it's quoted by the Beis Yosef. That chayev adam lipsume bepuria loyshe ishtaka. This doesn't mean that a person should get drunk on Purim. This is the Beis Yosef. More applicable to the Sfardim than to the Ashkenazim, but him calls that the who isu gomo, says the Beis Yosef. It's an isu gomo. The ein lecha avera gedele mizu, and there is no avera bigger than this avera. Shugayrim legilu arayis fiches domim ulekama averus zulos, and plenty of other averus besides that, says the Beis Yosef. Ach yishta yaisa meludu me'at kedesh yabal ismayach. So you want to be meretz yaisa on those Sfardim who do get shika. So the others who maintain the Siddur and the Har HaSholim, that where Chazal used the expression chayev, it means ad mesiras nefesh. Chayev enish lipsumei b'puriyah means ad mesiras nefesh. So it's a confusing topic. So the Kotzke says a myriadic of vort here. The Kotzke says, what's the yesoid of Esav? Says the Kotzke, the yesoid of Esav is al charbo chotichya, violence. Therefore, says the Kotzke, what happens to a goy when he gets drunk? He gets into a fight. He says the first thing that happens to a goy when he gets drunk is he gets into a fight. Why? Because the mahus of a goy is al charbo chotichya. He says, what's the mahus of a Jew? V'yahavta l'reicha kamoicha. He says, therefore, most Jews, when they get drunk, they become very loving. He says, and the Kotzke says, Sashar Favod. This is true. He says, and that's the nafkemin of his yidin a goy. In other words, what's the point that he's trying to make? Kotzke. He's trying to make the following. That the holiest sod of Tzchiris Mechilas Amalek is to wipe out this concept that Amalek was trying to drive home, that the concept of derech avodosai, the concept that a Jew is different from a non-Jew, is not true. Timche zeicha molek means wipe that out. Purim is a yomtiv which represents mechias amolek. How do you wipe that out? By being in a matzav of adlo yoda. And yet the distinction between behavior
of a Jew and the behavior of a non-Jew is still very clear. The mitzvah of Chayiv Adam of Sumei B'Puria is interdependent. It's interdependent on Derech Avodasai. Shikras on Purim can be an Aveda. But it's not an Aveda which allows you to act as a guy. Therefore, it's not an Aveda which allows you to miss a Birchus HaMazon. It's not an Aveda which allows you to miss a Tefillah, or a Tefillah B'Tzibur, or a Kaddish, or a Kedusha. Because if it does, then it's Salcha B'Chotichya. Then you're just a yok who got drunk. Has nothing at all to do with Purim. And particularly this year, where Purim is Erev Shabbos, one has to be doubly and triply careful. One has to be careful of Gabi Chilul Shabbos. One has to be careful that one is dressed for Shabbos the time Shabbos comes in. That one has showered for Shabbos, Ali B'Dei Hilchasa. One has gone to the mikveh before Shabbos for those who are noig to go. It's Erev Shabbos. It's Purim, but it's Erev Shabbos. And there's absolutely no justification for someone to be machmir in the mitzvah of Livsumi B'Puria, which is going to cause him to miss a Ma'ariv or miss a Kabbalah Shabbos. Or miss a Mincha. That, if you want to be Mekayim, the mitzvah, the way the mitzvah should be Mekayim, we have to understand that first and foremost in our minds should be the concept that the mitzvah is the definitive difference between the Jew and the non-Jew. Thank you.